Did you know Bridgestone developed a tire using 75% recycled and renewable materials? Making a difference today for future generations. That's what really matters. Bridgestone, solutions for your journey. Visit whatreallymatters.com to learn more.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Man, that was a tough hit. Vince Freeze gets him.
No rider has ever won on debut. Jed Lawrence has now.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Season 2, Episode 2 of Title 24, presented by NBC Sports. With you, Ricky Carmichael, myself, my co-host, Ryan Villopoto. Thank you to all our great sponsors, United Motorsports, Quadlock Case, and, of course, Boxo USA. Thanks for the ride, the engagement. You guys are awesome. And RV, you and I were laid up. So just an overview for everyone. Obviously, the people that saw my Instagram knew what happened. But yeah, I had a small bowel obstruction. Really, there's no rhyme or reason why it happened. That definitely wasn't fun. Nevertheless, I got cleared late Friday night or Friday afternoon, I should say, to resume normal activity with no restrictions, which was nice, but hoping that it was just a freak accident. And yeah, because everything else came out good. My blood levels came out good and definitely was in some massive pain. Yeah, and it just came out of nowhere. We were at dinner. I'm like, man, I don't feel right. And within an hour and a half, I was just like buckled down. So, it was unfortunate, especially, I put in a lot of work, myself, even the broadcast team to give you the best. And yeah, it was best that I stay home and try to get better. So hopefully everything is good. And I will be back in the booth this weekend at San Francisco, but it was definitely a bummer to watch it on the sidelines just because of how special Anaheim is at the season opener. And then RV, you come back from your ski trip. You're stinking laid up. What was your drill, dude?
Yeah, no, man, it's a head cold. I was throwing up on Thursday, Friday, stayed in bed all day Friday. I know it's going around. So I can kind of still hear it up in my sinuses. But other than that, I feel good. Got to watch it on Race Day Live. You know, tuned into that. Also, you know, the night program. Everybody did a great job. Some amazing racing. Action was packed. It was action packed. So, yeah, we're going to kick it off here for episode 2 of season 2.
Yeah, it's getting dude, there's so much stuff to talk about. Awesome engagement from our viewers and fans that watch Title 24, listen to Title 24. Dude, you guys are having the questions rolling in. Because there's so much meat to talk about and there's so many topics, it's going to be hard to get to all of the questions and answer all the questions. But we appreciate your engagement. And dude, it's been you guys give us a lot to talk about. So appreciate it. Love you guys for that. Kicking it off. Dude, 450, there is so much to go over. Jet Lawrence kind of makes it look easy. Dude, you watched the race. I mean, I'm sure you're not surprised by this. Are you surprised? Like, was there anything that stood out about what he did or no?
Well, Jet was Jet. Let's be honest. I think I have a big note right here on my paper of our rundown. The biggest surprise to me was Cooper Webb. Cooper Webb was able to
really? Why? Tell me why.
I will. Yeah. So put pressure on Jet in heat race. And I don't think Jet was, I thought Jet was going to be able to, in his mind, I thought he was just going to creep up on him, make the pass like he had, like we had watched Cooper Webb at the last three super motocross rounds of last year. He was there, but he really wasn't there. he was a major contender, a completely different 180 than what we saw in the last three. So yeah. I think in the heat race, Jet just made a small mistake, got a little off balance, you know, mm-hmm. clipped the tough block, fell over, got back up. But it was interesting to see Coop put Jet in that position. Now, yeah. Jet didn't panic. It was no big deal. He ended up winning the main event in true Jet fashion, mm-hmm. crushed everybody. You know, not by huge margins, but nonetheless, he won. So I think that, you know, it's going to be it's a lot closer than what I was expecting from Coop. You know, that's another guy that we can add into the major equation right now.
You're exactly right. Another notable, and I have this in my notes, Jason Anderson. This doesn't come as a surprise, just because I believed in his abilities. He's a past champion. And I feel like anytime you're a past champion, and I said this on episode one last week, when you have those credentials and you've been at it for so long, you can kind of rely on your experience to kind of fill in the gaps. So even though maybe he doesn't have that explosive speed, like a Jet Lawrence or a Chase Sexton at times, dude, he just has that experience and he is a past champion. So like I said, that fills in the gaps. He was very honest about the problems and the challenges he had last year on that bike. And then RV, you talked about the performance and that new KX450F that they made improvements on. And what I like about Cooper Webb and Jason Anderson is their results complimented their comments on where they thought they needed to get better or how they were being held back. So I'm not surprised at Anderson, and I was happy to see it. And to your point, a lot like in the heat race, dude, they kept Jet close. And RV, mm-hmm. you and I have talked about this. I think the thing or the way to beat Jet is you're going to have to keep them close. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to do it in the last, say, 5 to 8 minutes. Otherwise, you're just not going to do it. Go for it.
You give him too much time to retaliate and figure out where he's slow, where he was, you know, maybe making a little mistakes. Or I just know by watching, it looked like Coop had a pretty good line after the second set of whoops, holding it tight and then jumping back across the start there.
Yeah, that inside line was awesome, huh?
Yeah, it was. Jet was not, I don't want to use the word stuck, but he had his line on the outside there. I don't know how much quicker or slower it was. It just seemed like it was a little bit safer, a little easier to roll around the inside, and maybe a tenth or two. But yeah, if you're going to beat Jet, you're going to have to keep him honest and keep him on the ropes the entire race, and force him into a mistake. Because if you're not on that kid's, you know, riding his coattails, he's not going to make a mistake. And if he does, he's agile enough, he's good enough to fix that mistake or pick the motorcycle up very quickly and get going. You know, it's going to be hard to beat him if you don't pressure him into a mistake.
Hey, do you think that, let me ask you this. I was thinking about this. Do you think that if Coop was able to get by Anderson, say 3 or 4 laps, maybe even 5 laps earlier than when he was trying to, well, he never got by him. But do you think if he's able to get by him that he could have possibly made a run on Jet?
I think he may have been able to bridge the gap, but I also don't think Jet was riding all out. You know, I think he was riding all out. He was riding within his means of what he needed to do to win that Anaheim one, to win that main event. I don't think Coop or anybody else, you know, has put enough pressure on him to elevate his to that next little 10th or two or half a second a lap. We don't know what he actually has in the tank for more, right? So
I know, more. Dude. We talked about this at the playoffs, right? And he was getting pressured. I think it was at Chicago. Remember? And we're just like, only he knows if he was like chilling, like, and he's cool with 2 or 3 seconds.
Yeah. Is he on the rivet at that point, or was he not? I personally don't think so. I think Jet was riding a very fast race, but I don't think it was all out. I don't think it was like, hey, I need to lay down some very quick laps. I think if you were to if say Coop were to bridge that gap and start pressuring him, I think Jet has some more in the tank. I do.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. I think I was able to talk to someone at the Star Yamaha Monster Energy team yesterday, and they said that Coop was okay and that he's pretty pumped. I mean, like, dude, if I'm Cooper Webb and RV, I would think that you'd be the same despite the result. Yeah, the result sucks, the end result. But, dude, there are so many positives to take from Cooper Webb, and I just think if he is this – Cooper Webb, if he's this strong at the beginning of the season, I don't see a guy of his caliber with his experience getting worse throughout the season. So I'm just going to say that. That's what I think. But there's a lot for him to be stoked about, and Anderson, right?
I totally agree. I think Coop typically starts off his Anaheim 1 a little slow, right? In the first couple of rounds, I don't think he's not a typical the guy that comes out swinging right out of the gate. He's more of a guy that kind of slows, comes into it and starts to build. What we saw of Cooper Webb, Anaheim 1, it was kind of what we see first East Coast round, yeah, where he really, really kind of comes out and is fighting for those wins, typically in the past. So it is nice to see first round, first gate drop, he's right there in the mix. So that I think was the surprising part for a lot of people.
I'm going to go out right now and just say this is someone to keep your eye on, Plessinger. That was a sneaky good finish. He was riding well all day long. He didn't do good in qualifying practice, which he never does. But dude, he raced really well. Keep your eye on that guy, dude. I'm telling you.
AP's got tons of talent, man. You know, I think his background from the off-road side, I think is helps him with certain conditions on those supercross tracks. I know that with the little bit of rain that we had coming into Anaheim 1, it was a little bit rutty. I actually thought the conditions of Anaheim 1 were probably some of the best I've ever seen. Yeah. Track didn't deteriorate too bad. Dirtworks did a great job, you know, maintaining the track, building the track. The transitions looked, you know, nice to see for Anaheim 1. It didn't catch a lot of these guys off guard. So it was an easier track for sure. But that's I think AP just needs to get his feet wet and start to knock down some of those positions right in front of him. And I think hopefully he'll find himself in a position like he was last year and knock down maybe a win.
Yeah, I feel like AP is one of those guys too. Like when he puts in a good performance, he believes in himself, and when he believes in himself, he rides much better. So that dude, he was sneaky fast. So I'll be looking to see if he's able to back that up this weekend in San Fran. Dude, Ferrandis, not really a no surprise. He's capable of that. He got fifth. He got a little help there because Webb crashed. Otherwise, for all intents and purposes, he would have been sixth, but I don't feel like he lit it on fire, but
I don't think he lit it on fire, but I will say that for me, I thought better than I was expecting, you know, on that, you know, kind of a semi-factory privateer, mm-hmm. Phoenix Honda, I believe, correct? Phoenix Honda?
Yeah.
Phoenix
mm-hmm.
Honda. So good effort from those guys and Marty. I think that's a hell of a start for Anaheim 1. New team, new bike, not a factory backed machine. So mm-hmm. It's going to be interesting to see because I had him. I'll be honest. I kind of wrote him off.
Right.
You know, coming into this season, making that switch. I honestly did. So it's good to see where he's at right out of the gate.
Tomac, what's your thoughts on that? Myself personally, I'm not stressing on that. It's so early.
It is very early. It is very early. I know the Achilles is a major injury. We've talked about it before. I do feel like that I was expecting not a win. I wasn't expecting the finish that he finished.
I was expecting,
you know, anywhere from third through fifth. I feel like, you know, I think he was eighth.
No, he was ninth.
Ninth.
Yeah.
Finished ninth.
Got beat by all his teammates.
Yeah, that's a ways off the podium. I'm not scared yet.
He was almost 56 seconds off the lead.
Yep. I'm not it's not panic mode, but it is from the outside looking in, for me where I'm sitting, it's a little concerning, I will be honest.
You need to see more in San Fran.
Yeah, I think before you know it, if you get three rounds in and you say it's a ninth this last weekend and then it's a seventh or a fifth or whatever, you get three or four rounds like that, pretty soon you're way out of the points, right? Right away. So yeah. Especially if Jet keeps knocking down first and seconds, podiums every weekend, the championship chase will get away from you pretty quickly. So I know he doesn't want that. I think he definitely needs to, from the outside looking in, I think he needs to improve by quite a bit.
Hey, before we get to the Boxo breakdown, a couple more guys to touch on. Roczen, real great. He got hosed in the main event there on that first little section right here. We're watching. They're going to come across, and there's that little tabletop step up, and looks like Freezy and what. Look, as you were watching, and then Malcolm, if you watch right here, we're watching the replay of the start in the main event. See, watch Malcolm and Freezy get tangled up. See there, yep. And then it collects the 94 of Ken Roczen. Ooh, there's Justin Cooper. Dude, I didn't know Cooper was tangled up in that.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, neither did
That's
I.
That's a hell of a comeback for him. Not a true reflection of who Ken is. I think we saw how well Ken was going to ride and do that night in the main event, but he got hosed right off the bat. Just goes to show you how important the start is on the 450. I mean, there's really not much to talk about Ken, right, because of what happened.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. You know, the right-hand start, I mean, we have to have a topic on that. We typically don't see the right-hand starts in Supercross, and, yep. And par for the rear brake is on the right side. And I've been in a situation where Jacksonville, I don't remember exactly what year it was, but I didn't make the main. So, you know, it's definitely, there's no rules against a right-hand start, right? But from Feld's point of view, it adds a ton of excitement. You know, uncertainty for the start, you know, because if it would have been a left-hand start, not to say we wouldn't have pile-ups, but you're not going to see what we saw out of that right-hand first turn. You got Coop, or you got Hunter Lawrence going down. You got Kenny going down, Mookie going down, Justin Cooper going down. That thing tangled up a lot of dudes. That's what's the tough part about the right-hand first turn.
Yeah, I one thing about the right-hand first turn is it kind of opens it up from a Dirtworks perspective to different designs, so it gives them more option. I'm not a massive fan of it. You can go back and forth and debate whether some people say right-hand first corners are tough because you can't brake, which is true, but then also some of the riders go into the first corner a little bit slower knowing that they can't brake. I don't know. I like left hand corners, but I see both sides. So
I do too. But the other thing is too, is I bet you can count the right hand first turns on one hand. So it's not like all of our racers are very accustomed to it. So there's a lot of learning to be done from just the racer itself on gate position, on how to race the right hand turn. Like I said, it's not something that we typically see or get to practice or utilize. So to your point of it opening up options for Dirtworks and different track designs, maybe it's something we just need to start implementing a little bit more of, and then Dirtworks will be able to know how the right hand first turn works and how it doesn't. Like, this was a fast right hander, does it need to be a slower right hand turn or a tighter first turn that's a right hander to get guys slowed down? Is it more of a 180 first turn versus, you know, like a 60 degree, because that was, you know, it wasn't, you know, it was a pretty fast right hander into that rhythm section. So there's a lot of learning from both sides that I think need to be done from the rider side and from Dirtworks. So I wouldn't say we need to get rid of them. I think that if it does, because I've never sat with the Dirtworks guys and asked them, hey, how does a right hand first turn affect or make it better or worse for track design? And if it opens it up a ton for new track designs, then I think we should start using them more, and then guys will just get smart. It's just like anything.
Get used to it.
They've been going left hand forever, you know.
So you'll get used to it and adjust to it. Yeah, do you right. Boxo breakdown this week. It's Cooper Webb. He will eventually crash. It'll ruin his chances of being on the podium and knocking Chase Sexton off the podium. But what's your take? What do you think happened there coming off that takeoff?
It's hard to tell. I kind of thought initially he might have caught his foot peg. It looked like right here, it looked like he really kind of brushed Anderson. It's hard to tell if he caught the foot peg or if the rear tire just caught a little bit of like a kicker almost. And look, it doesn't look like there's a kicker there, but those specific jumps there, you're able to rush so fast. And if your body position is just a little bit off, it'll give you that kick. And you see how it kicked, and then it kicked into the inside of the motorcycle, and then he went over the bars. Nate Thrasher, same thing. Very similar crash. His was a lot tougher on the body. Thrasher's was. Coop, luckily, was able to get up right away. Looked like he got off fairly easily there.
Maybe try to scrub a little bit. Let's see here. Yeah, he scrubs, and then I think you might be right. He hits that kicker. There looks like there is a little kicker right on the inside of that rut, I bet. And he's trying to scrub at the same time, maybe trying to go for a pass right there. I mean, I think
trying to rush that and go around Jason, like kind of get on the outside of him so he would set up for the inside for the next mechanics area turn.
I think he was certainly going for it. Timing was of the essence because it was getting late into the race, so he needed to make that pass. So that's a Boxo breakdown for the week. Make sure you check out BoxoUSA.com. We talk about him all the week. If you're at the race, hopefully you stop by the Monster Energy Star Racing Yamaha rig. They use all Boxo product. They make great stuff. Lifetime warranty. Make sure you check them out. Great company. And they're right there in Irvine, Anaheim area. That leads us to the benefit of Cooper Webb crashing. That helped Chase Sexton. I don't know. I was expecting a little more. I tell you straight up, I was expecting a little more. When you make these changes, I'm expecting him to be better than where he was last year. I don't know that he did. I was expecting more. Not that he didn't do a bad job. He was riding great, but I'm just like, I didn't see anything special from him that I was maybe hoping to see, if that makes sense.
We kind of heard some sound, you know, coming into that. You know, it seemed like struggle is not the word, but bike wasn't 100%. You know, I feel like he's used Anaheim 1 as a good building block. I think that's exactly what he did. He is in the points chase. He got a decent finish, but pretty flat, to be honest, flat. Nothing special. Didn't set the world on fire. I think, it'd be interesting to step into his head and see, you know, what his actual real thoughts were. If that was an 80% performance from him, if he thought he was 90, 100, is the bike a little bit off? Going and judging by the track, I felt like, looking at everybody's motorcycles looked pretty damn good.
They did
out on the track. You know, there was no real fire drills. It seemed like throughout practice, watching race day live, everybody looked pretty. And maybe that came down to the track being pretty basic. You know, everybody was jumping the same rhythm sections. It looked like the track had pretty good traction. We've shown up at Anaheim ones before and had a different scenario with bikes and track setup and things like that. So flat, I guess, would be my word. Yes, flat.
Yeah, there you go. It'll be interesting to see how he rebounds. That's great. So we got a producer question here. Is this a good new turn from Chase, though, when you don't have it still finishing on the podium? Well, He got lucky because Cooper crashed, but that's part of it. He was in it. He was where he needed to be. He was able to capitalize on someone else's mistake. That was a forced error on Cooper Webb. That was on him, and Chase was there to reap the benefits of it. But I mean, the beginning of that question, like, do you think that that was strategy, like, and he didn't push, or do you just think he just got beat and those guys yanked him?
I think he got beat, number one. I do think he got beat. I think his mentality probably coming in, new team, new bike.
You're going to make his fans mad, dude.
That's all right. That's what I'm here for. I think there's definitely, he's got more in the tank. Yeah. It looked like he rode very, to me, watching him ride, it looked like he was riding 80%. So if he's got another 20 in the tank, then he should be right there with the boys in these next few rounds. I think it was a smart move if he was not feeling it. You know, typically we'd be talking about, hey, Chase, you know, made a mistake. He crashed. He did this. You know, these are the things that happened. We didn't see any of that. It was a very uneventful, seemed like main event. He didn't get a ton of TV time. So from what I saw, it was a fairly uneventful main event for Chase, which is good. But also, like I say, if he's 80% and he's not 100 yet, then I think he's in good shape. But, you know, I don't really know exactly how he felt. Was he putting 100 out there on the line? I'm going to say he wasn't. I'm going to say he's using Anaheim 1 as a good building block. Yes, Cooper went down, so he ended up on the podium. If not, he would have been fourth. I think he's got a lot to learn on that motorcycle too. So I'm hoping to see, you know, San Fran this weekend, a different Chase.
Did you know Bridgestone developed a tire using 75% recycled and renewable materials? Making a difference today for future generations. That's what really matters. Bridgestone, solutions for your journey. Visit whatreallymatters.com to learn more.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease and a whole lot of love, you transform 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. LED headlights, spoilers, whatever you need. eBay Motors has it at affordable prices. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride every time. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
United Motorsports moment of the night. Before we roll that tape, thank you, United Motorsports. Hey, go over to United Motorsports. They're doing a really cool promo. UnitedMotorsports.com/title24. Enter your email address, and you'll get a $15 credit on your first purchase. That will also enter you to win a weekly $50 credit. So every week they're going to be picking a lucky winner from the people who sign up, to give you a $50 credit towards your next purchase. Love what United Motorsports is doing. You can also get Boxo through them. They are in the Kentucky, Ohio area. If you want to stop by, they got 6 locations through those 2 states. And, so that's an awesome promo that United Motorsports is doing, giving back to the fans. So make sure you sign up to UnitedMotorsports.com/title24 opens. Now, the United Motorsports moment of the night is going to open up a whole realm of chaos that ensued. I can't wait to hear what you had to say, but we got some video of that. Let's see it so we can break it down here. So this is the Hunter Lawrence eventually doesn't make the main event. Some people are blaming Vince Freese on this maneuver coming into the first corner. We got all kinds of different angles. Vince was on the outside. He closes the door. He definitely closes the door getting to that inside. I think, and I'm interested to hear your what your view is, RV. Was that Vince's fault? I think that he could have been a little more mindful. Those guys are coming in at a high rate of speed. Coming from the angle that he was coming at, he was pretty far outside for the most part. I think that you have to be mindful of what angle you're coming in at, who's on the inside of you. What I would, if I was racing, what I would have been concerned about coming and closing in that close is if someone ran into behind me, like what Hunter did. Sometimes that guy that runs in the back of you can cause you to high side. Hunter could have easily clobbered up Vince. So I think Vince could have given him a little more room, 120%. But, you know, I feel like that maneuver, like that I'm talking about, that you're explaining about, and look, you can see Vince as he almost starts to high side. Watch him right here. And he's like, whoa, see the bike slides out and catches. I mean, he was a millisecond from it going sideways for him. So I think like that's a high maneuver move, and you have to be aware of what you're doing. RV, I think you wouldn't have closed the door like that. Myself, you know, I wouldn't have, and I just explained to everyone that is listening and watching why I wouldn't have done that. You just have to be a little bit more mindful. So, yes, I think that Vince caused that, and unfortunately it caused a massive amount of chaos for Hunter Lawrence. And it also hosts a guy like Carnell. He's sidelined, yeah. And that was nasty. Oh, dude. So give me your take, dude.
Well, I think that, number one, Ricky, we wouldn't have been on the outside.
So we wouldn't have been out there.
So, yeah. You know, obviously, if we would have had a bad practice, okay, yeah, great. We would have been on the outside. We wouldn't have been on that far outside, so we wouldn't have put ourselves in that position, number one. I mean, it looked like he was about three or four gates outside of the box. So not crazy. But I hate to say this. He was controlling the first turn. And what do you do when you control the first turn? You come in and you're controlling everybody else. So, did he chop the rest of the field? Yes, he chopped the rest of the field, but he also had control of the first turn. So,
Yeah, he had control, but even though he had control, could he still have had control and not chopped that much?
I think that, yes, he could have probably gave a little bit more room or didn't chop at the very last second as hard, you know, really trying to hold the inside more middle to outside and accepting that you're going to, you know, end up pushing out to the tough blocks. I think he was really trying to get to the inside, which obviously, as we saw, you explained it, grabbed a hold of Hunter's front wheel. It kicked Freezy's bike out. He almost high-sided, and it was kind of a domino effect after that. It wrapped up Chase, wrapped up Carno. It wrapped up, you know, the rest
several
of the
guys.
Field.
Yeah.
You know, so it's tough. The biggest problem I see is Vince is always in these – in this confrontation. I know riders sometimes hate to race him. I was one of those guys, like, you know, he's unpredictable, and this was another unpredictable moment from Vince. But I the only thing he has going for him is he had control of the first turn. If it wouldn't be for all of his previous you know, black eyes down the line that he's caused. I know there's another one we're going to talk about with Dino on here on the show. But if it wasn't for all these previous black eyes that he has, he wouldn't have such a bad rap. But because of his situation, because he seems like he's always a topic in takeouts or riding dirty or doing just straight up dumb things, he gets a bad rap, you know, but look, he did have control of the first turn. And the guys that were behind him should have been on the brakes. It's kind of how I see it.
Come on, dude. He cut him off so hard.
He did, but okay. How can
you get on the brakes that fast?
Let me put you on the outside and you have the wheel on everybody. What are you doing? Chad's on the inside. James is on the inside.
I mean, yeah, I'm going to close the door, but I am going to go earlier and do it for sure.
That's the difference between your caliber of racing and mentality versus, you know, Vince's, right?
Yeah,
so,
angle guys,
yeah. And some guys just never get to that, you know, get to that mental capacity, of being a really, really smart racer like that. Because like you said, he was this close to high for Hunter getting him to high side off the other side. Yeah, so it was literally this close for him to go down. And obviously you never want to go down in the first turn.
Yeah.
Especially if you caused it, because then you're really pissed.
Yeah. That's our United Motorsports moment of the night. Should we just go ahead? So that eventually turns in, like we said, Hunter doesn't qualify. Why doesn't he qualify? Because now he has a horrible start. This would be for the last chance qualifier. Hunter's all the way on the inside. He gets closed out early, right out of the jump of the gate. Here you go. Boom.
Yeah.
He's done. Yeah. He goes sideways, and then now he's buried. So now he's going to have to play catch up. And RV, you have been in the last chance qualifier, Jacksonville, back in 19. We're dating ourselves then. Or no, it's 2000, but it was a long time
2011.
Ago.
2011.
These guys, kind of goes back to what we were talking about. It's a different level of racing, not quite as predictable what lines the guys are going to take. And make no mistake about it, it is last chance qualifier. And in anything and everything is on the table. You get a pass for riding dirty. It is what it is, and you just have to expect the worst. And it is a pressure situation. And unfortunately, he came up a little bit short, probably about four or 5 inches. And that's what happened.
Well, you know, let's go back to that replay of him on the gate there. Very inside gate. Man, he blew the start against all these guys. Last chance qualifier guys. You know, I guarantee you they went back and looked and say, well, here's why you didn't make the main event. It's because of your start. Look, I mean, he is literally the last guy in the turn.
he is. Almost goes down.
Yep. And you cannot start the last chance like that, you know, because these guys are trying to make the bacon, right, to get into the main event. So they're all going for it. And the biggest problem is when you're that caliber of rider riding with those last chance guys is those guys are so unpredictable at the speed that Hunter's riding. So to make passes, close calls, they probably happen 3-4 times a lap when you're at Hunter's speed and caliber of rider, closing in on the rest of those guys from last and trying to come up to the pack and get into the last transfer spot, which is fourth. It's a very chaotic race. You know, honestly, you probably look at it like, man, I'm glad I made it out without an injury, without, you know, hitting somebody, landing on somebody cross jumping me, because it is chaos in that short race for only four spots to go to the main event. And I guarantee you, they look back at that and Dazzy probably said, here it is. You blew your chance at the main event on the line. Because if you would have hole shotted, Hunter wins the last chance, he's into the main event, and end of story, right? He would have had outside gate pick for main event, which wouldn't have been awesome, but still he's in the main event. But his main event fate was sealed by that gate drop of that last chance.
Yep. You're exactly right. You're exactly right. I couldn't see, they didn't really go back to where he was in his heat. So obviously his bike was mangled. Maybe he was a little bit injured. Had he picked up a few more positions in the heat race, he would have obviously gotten a better gate pick for the last chance. Every little bit certainly counts in that regard.
I'm sure he was a bit sore, you know, it took him a second to get up. You know, Chase bounced right up, got his bike up, pushed Hunter's bike off of his bike and took off. Right. So it took Hunter a second to kind of gather himself and get back on the motorcycle and how bent up the motorcycle was. But ultimately I think that what really hindered him is how long it really took him to get up and get back on the motorcycle and get back up to speed.
Hey, let's go down memory lane. I want to know what it was like for you. We got a little bit of video, Jacksonville. Tell us what happens here, RV. What's going on? What's going through your head? Tell us.
Yeah, right-hand first turn.
You blaming yourself here or what?
Well, I put myself in the middle of the pack. So, yes, number one, that's my fault. Bad start, middle of the pack. If I would have been the lead, that would have never happened. And then I end up off the track again. There, me and Brayton are, that's in the last chance. So yeah, here we go, to try to make it up. And I never made it into the main event, chaotic race. I actually tore a little piece of my retina just off the, you know, when I slammed my head on the ground there, could say, you know, that was, it was a tough position to be in, because I believe I had, was right there with the points.
Did you win the championship that year?
I did win the championship still. That was a
dude.
That was a very, very interesting race, because I did end up not making the main out of the last chance. Stu made the main, but then Stu did something very similar to what I did in that rhythm section. Didn't make didn't finish the race, and Chad and Kennard went down to the line, and actually Kennard ended up winning the main event. And if it wasn't for Kennard winning the main event, Chad would have been 2 points up on the field, with the points lead. And as everybody knows, you give Chad an inch, he's going to take a mile. It could have been a different outcome. If Chad would have had that points lead leaving Jacksonville.
Did you like that? Did you like that track that weekend, or what do you think caused all of that chaos? Like, were you bummed about the track, or like what?
No, up? I think track was fine. Looking back at you know, video like that, and watching Anaheim one that we just had a right hand first turn, everybody comes into the first turns like it's a left hander. Like I had zero regard for it being a right hander. And it just showed in the last chance, where me and Brayton, same thing, got locked bars and we just blew off the track. That would have never happened on a left-hand track, on a left-hand turn. For whatever reason, it's just different. We're not accustomed to it. We are the best racers in the world, and the guys that are racing are some of the best racers in the world, and they will figure it out. We just have to do it more often. We don't do it enough.
How do you bounce back, like, from a weekend like that? Like, your situation, how did you bounce back, and how could that maybe, like, what would Hunter do? Like, what'd you do the next weekend?
I was very good at not dwelling on, you know, the past and what had happened. I think in a situation like that, and in anybody's situation like that, a bad weekend, or I mean really bad weekend, not making the main event in the premier class in the points chase nonetheless is very hard to, you know, for some of these riders to be like, hey, my season's blown, right? I'm not making the main event. Now my chances are over. I looked at it like when Trey won, I'm still in this. I'm still in this fight. You know, that was kind of like, I knew I was still in it, but when Trey won the main event, I was like, okay, it's definitely not over yet. I'm still in it. But you can't, when Monday rolls over, you're back at the track, and you're, what happened Saturday night's over. That was last week, right? You have to literally draw a line in the sand and put that behind you, because of how many races these guys have in a row, throughout the season, and the ups and downs. You cannot dwell on the negative. You have to look forward, and figure out what you can do better and how you can avoid those situations next time.
That's right. You know, it's like the irony. We have so many things in common when it comes to our career. Like, the same situation happened, similar situation happened to me in 2006 at St. Louis when I went over the handlebars in the heat race. But I think there were still semi qualifiers back then, or that season particularly. But in the main event, my shock spring broke. And I'm like, oh, crap. And then I think Stu was in the lead, maybe. Dude, he goes down, can't get his bike cranked, and doesn't finish the race, essentially. Reedy goes out and wins. I don't know if he took the points lead either, but it was close, because I think I had close to a 25-point lead going in over Reedy going into that race. So, dude, very, very similar. But I wasn't really concerned about losing points to Reedy, because I felt like I was in a bet, not to be overconfident, but I knew, like, I was in a better spot than he was, as far as bike goes and just my riding. I was just a little bit worried about Stu, you know, giving up some points to him, which I ended up not giving that many points because he fell down. But isn't that crazy how it's almost similar situation? You know, you opened the door for him, boom, he lays it down, you know? It's crazy. Yep. It's crazy.
Yeah, no, there was a lot of scenarios like that, you know, where James would make some mistakes like that and have issues.
Not capitalize. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not capitalize. Dude, the 250, I was talking to someone, just like a local guy here from Tallahassee, a great guy. Do some hunting and stuff with him, and he tunes into Title 24 every weekend. He watches all the races on Peacock, and he was bummed on the 250 class, like the 250 race. He thought it would be a little bit more exciting. I think the racing was good. It was fun to see. There's a lot of notables that we can talk about. But my impression was, yeah, it wasn't super exciting, but there was a lot of fun things and a lot of things to keep your eye on, based on what we saw. I have some notes here. I know you got your notes, but what was your overall thought of the 250? Was there anyone that surprised you or like what you give us your overall thought?
Well, I think what surprised me and I hate to say this cause I love the kid, is Joe, right?
Yeah.
You know, that was a topic coming into this weekend. Can Joe start his season off better than he has and put himself in a position to be in this championship fight right out of the gate? It didn't happen once again, right? New team, new bike, wasn't the finish that he obviously wanted. So I think that was the big surprise to me, because I think I was expecting more out of Joe. I'm not saying a win, but to get himself up in the mix, top three, top two, Hampshire rode a phenomenal race, smooth, was fast, got out front, did exactly what he was supposed to do, and rode that thing down to the checkered flag. Jordan Smith, also another, like you said, it was a very uneventful main event. Jordan rode a phenomenal race too. I guess the other that started to go south was Levi. He was up front there, right outside the lead.
Yep.
I thought he was gonna, kind of find his rhythm and bridge that gap. He didn't. He actually lost touch of those front guys. And then Max Vollen was able to capitalize on that, pass him. But Levi was able to rebound and stabilize himself and pass Max back. But,
did you expect more out of Kitchen? Do you feel like it was kind of the same as last year? Cause in my notes, I feel like other than he's on another motorcycle, I don't feel like I saw much difference from him. Did you see a difference in him?
Look, I'm going to be hard on Levi because I know him personally. I know his talent level. I know his family fairly well. I expect more out of Levi. And I know Mitch does too. I think that Levi is a championship contender in this season, but, he's not going to be able to have these races where it's just kind of mediocre. I would call for Anaheim 1. I know it's a lot of hype around this new bike for him, but to your point, it didn't look much different than last year.
Yeah. That's what I was like when I was watching him, RV, I was like, if he was on his star Yamaha right now, I don't feel like I saw a difference. Right.
Yep.
That's how. Yep.
So that being said, as I'm expecting Levi, I'm expecting more out of you. I want to see you up front there, racing for these wins, but, he's going to have to put himself in a better position on the gate, get a little bit better start, and sprint with those guys. So, and not make mistakes. I think Levi's biggest, issue that I feel is the little mistakes become, the culprit for him. So, he needs to sharpen the knife a bit more.
I feel like Shimoda, I think, yeah, definitely I was expecting more out of him, but if you look at his career, the history of his career, he normally finishes better the latter part of the season than he starts. So just edging off the box, and he was one of the best guys there in the class, I do believe, in the field. He just didn't put himself in great positions. And that's, I mean, to be a champion, you expect a guy like Joe to put himself in better positions. So it is what it is. I'm not sticking up for him. I think he's better than fourth place. He marched up through the field. I shouldn't say march, but he was definitely podium worthy. I think he's going to get better. I personally do. He underperformed a little bit for sure, but I think he'll only get better and better. RJ, dude, he was solid all day long. He deserved the win. He was great through the whoops all day long. He certainly had some moments, but all these guys have their moments. I think that I personally believe, and I've said this numerous times, I've said it on the broadcast, that if he can eliminate the big moments and the mistakes and not the slip-ups, it can just focus ahead and try to be mindful and aware of what he can get away with. He will be he'll be one of the favorites. He's willing to hang it out, and sometimes you have to have that. And this is a great some great video that we had of RJ celebrating the win with his little daughter. I thought it was a good ride. To your point, Jordan Smith, not surprising. He's got a ton of experience. I think a lot of people, Bumaire, dude, this is something a lot of fun, and it's a story to watch. Here's some sound, some video. Killer starts. RV, you know better than anyone, starts are key. If you can get good starts and you can learn this pace early on in your career, he's going to get over that hump extremely fast. What's your thoughts, brother?
He rode phenomenal. He handled the pressure, that upfront pressure that comes from leading your very first main event, in the 250 class. I was in that position. My 06 pulled the whole shot, led for 10 laps, got passed on lap 10 by Shorty. That's a tough spot to be in, and he handled it like a champ. I've got to witness Juju ride a little bit throughout his amateur and then his preparation for, Supercross with Factory KTM. And the kid's a fighter, but he's not the most beautiful rider. He's a little bit notchy, but man, he held his own out there. I mean, Hampshire put pressure on him. Hampshire ran him high. He was able to read behind him, know the situation, what was coming, hold it up high, drop back behind Hampshire. The wheels fell off after in the latter part of the race. And that's a big difference. I referenced myself. We were doing 15 laps on a track that was about 51 seconds, right? So we have now everything's based off time, as everybody knows. So we're doing 15 minute motos. This was a little bit of a longer lap time than some of the tracks we'll see coming up. But that's a long, grueling, first main event, and for him to hold it together for that long and hold the positions that he held, phenomenal start. I know that Carlos over there at KTM, this is kind of his prodigy.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, this is kind of Carlos's prodigy. It's kind of funny that Davey's his trainer, and Carlos is kind of like the manager, call it. Yeah, so it's kind of interesting to see those guys are all working back together. But Juju was better than I think everybody was expecting, and I think the trajectory for him going upwards very quickly is, I think we're going to see that. Based off his performance at Anaheim 1.
I'm excited. It's a great story. Lee Diffie talked about it throughout the broadcast. It's so much fun and you think about just how he got to where he is and his success that he had in jet ski racing, right? And then his decision to just start racing. I think anytime you hear a story like that a rider, a racer doesn't come up through the normal way or the normal progression, it's a fun story and it's fun to watch. And he told us at Media Days, RV, that things happen a lot faster on jet skis than they do in motorcycles. So it's almost like, he didn't say it was slow motion, but everything was slowed down when he's riding his motorcycle compared to when he's on his jet ski, which is just crazy to imagine, right?
Yeah, no, it is. It's I don't have any time on a stand up. I've rode a stand up, you know, here and there. I can get around the buoys, but no, this, like you said, the story and to see that he didn't start off with the normal path of these kids coming through 50s, 60s, all the way to Loretta's. I know he's been to Loretta's multiple times, but different path than a lot of these guys. And it's cool to see that he's able to come up and solidify himself in this 250 class. And look, he's not burned out. He's fresh. This is something new to him. You know, so the sky's the limit.
Did you know Bridgestone developed a tire using 75% recycled and renewable materials? Making a difference today for future generations. That's what really matters. Bridgestone, solutions for your journey. Visit whatreallymatters.com to learn more.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease and a whole lot of love, you transform 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. LED headlights, spoilers, whatever you need. eBay Motors has it at affordable prices. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride every time. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You know, for him.
Well, we got a lot to talk about with this next topic. Quadlockcase.com and the Quadlock question of the week. Hey, make sure you go to quadlockcase.com and check out all their great product. We talk about it every week, whether you need mounts for your mountain bikes, road bikes, cars, ATVs, UTVs, you name it, they got it all. Vibration dampeners for like I use it on my adventure bike, whether you're like you have a Harley Davidson or whatever it might be, check out their vibration dampener so you don't smoke your phone's internal stabilizer or focus, whatever it has. I've lost two iPhones because of not using the stabilizer many, many years ago. So nevertheless, check them out. But our quad lock question of the week comes from Kamikaze_Machado_13. And we're gonna get some video teed up for you before we roll it. Kamikaze Machado 13's question is, what do you do when you're dealing with an overly aggressive or dirty rider? Let's roll the tape and talk about this. Go for it, RV.
We got Dino and we have Vince Freeze here on the inside.
Oh my gosh.
I know that Dean had come on his YouTube or Instagram.
Yeah, it was his YouTube, yeah.
And you know, was venting.
Is that crossing the line, dude, right there? Come on.
Well, so I'm going to be honest, and I don't know. Dino's probably not going to like me for this.
Well, he doesn't already like you because of what your analysis was for the first turn.
First turn. All right. Perfect. So Look, that's a huge right-hander, long right-hander. Looks to be, when that replay plays again, looks to be fairly soon in the beginning of the race. Look, you can see everybody's very close in this shot. I think he should have known. He should have looked over. Doesn't matter if it was Vince Freeze. Eli's right there behind him. I think if Eli would have been in that in Vince's position, he would have ran him up there. Now, I will say that I don't think Eli would take Dino all the way to the tough blocks and take his front wheel out. I think he's going to give him room. So that would be the black eye on Vince is taking him all the way to the bales just because. But as you saw, as they land there, that's a huge spot of the track. You have a massive long entry to the turn, and then it comes up, and then you turn down into the rhythm section. I feel like that's the move I would have put on Dean. Like I said, I would not have put Dean out to dry out into the tough blocks. That's a Vince Freeze move.
I think
Dino should have been aware of, because it was on, I'm not going to call it opening lap, but it looks to be like a pretty,
I think it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty soon, in the race, that you should have been aware of your surroundings and looked over to the right.
Was it overly aggressive move?
Look, I'm going to say it again. I don't think it was an overly aggressive move. I think it was Vince Freeze's black eye comes from pushing Dean out to the, just because that's his mentality. I don't know why you just because you make a block pass on somebody doesn't mean you need to take them to the bales and touch them.
Yeah. He smoked himself because of it.
And he smoked himself because of it. So as you land from the triple, everything's okay until you get to the tough block area. I'd be pissed if I was Dean too, because he could have come down and they both would have stayed up and he would have made the pass. So like I said before, Vince's black eye comes from middle of the turn to the exit, not from the entrance of the turn. I feel like that's a huge section of the track. That's an optimal passing point coming up the inside of anybody right there. That's my take. That's my hot take.
Man, I definitely think that he could have been aware. So Kamikaze Machado_13, dude, this is why you win the quad lock question of the week. We got a litany of other questions kind of leading to that. So this kind of leads me into, he says, what this person asked you, what do you do when you're, so how do you deal with a guy like that?
How do you deal with, okay.
How do you deal with it?
Before I answer that, put yourself in that position and you got Reedy right behind you. Reedy's going to do the exact same thing right there. Now he's, and I don't think that, I'm not saying the exact same and you're going to have it's going to play out exactly the same, but Chad's going to run you out to hang you out to dry, right?
Of course.
And that's where.
I don't think he goes that angle though. I don't think he comes in at that angle. I don't think he does. Not this early in the season.
I'm coming in at that angle. I'm just not
this
running
early in the season against Stu or Dunge. You're coming in at that angle this early.
Yeah, but I'm not going to come up in at the transition point of, hey, I need to turn down so he can come back down into the track, or am I going to run him to the tough blocks and then we both go down? So that's the point I would do different my racer instinct is to come in at that and catch him off guard and get him to stand his bike up. And then I'm going off with my racing. I've made the pass.
Yeah.
Everything, the entrance of where Vince came in, I thought was totally fine because it was such a long, broad turn. I don't think the entry was dirty. I think the exit was dirty.
I don't know. I think the angle was screwed up, dude. I think it was aggressive. That now, to your point, the angle to me, entry angle wouldn't look too bad had he not went to the hay bales and he would have had to tighten up that apex. I agree with you. I was trying to go through my questions here from our great fans and they asked about, I'm going to find this dang thing. So stick with me. There was a question from someone who asked, you know, like what does the sanctioning body do about a rider like Vince? And what I feel like, okay, I feel like, and they're not going to be happy about this, but in my opinion, if you warn someone, you put them on probation, They continue to carry on, and you get the same result in return, and they're not getting the message. Then I think the next step is you get in their wallet.
Yeah.
You get in their wallet, and you know, that's the next step. Start there. I'm not even going to speculate if that doesn't work. What's the next thing you do? I think you, as a sanctioning body, you come with the confidence and you know what is what's going on. You know what's at risk. We saw what happened in the first corner. We saw what happened with Dean. You know, it's subjective of, you know, what, you know, we got our opinions and we break it down what happened. But at the end of the day, they got to make their decision. But like, riders can't get hurt. We all know that. And at the end of the day, if you're making this person better for penalizing him or fining him, I think the next step is you get in their wallet. That's what I say you do. And you make it sting. This guy's making okay money. Is he making millions? No. So that's what I say. You get in the person's wallet, you get in the points, and make it sting, you know, because you know, you got that's what I would do.
And I agree. And I had mentioned this before,
mm-hmm.
It's all the other black eyes that has on the record, you know, his rap sheets. It's that sucker's this long. I mean, it seems like every season we're dealing with Vince or Barsha, you know, to some degree. Justin will do it. I think, you know, Justin will get a warning and then you'll see it maybe one other time. And then Justin cleans up his act, right?
Yeah.
Part, you know, factory team, they don't want that. They don't want the black eye on them. Justin's smart like that. You know, he does push the lines. He blurs the lines very, very a lot sometimes.
Yeah, and that's just a level, you know, not to take anything away from Vince, but he's like anyone who knows that is deep into this has knowledge in this type of racing, is he's just at a different level of racing than Vince.
It always seems to end up on his shoulders, and like that's what I said, that rap sheet's long, and if it wasn't for, you know, if it's once or twice a season that Vince does this, I mean, mm-hmm. I don't think he's not even a topic right now on our show. But because it seems like it's every season he's in some type of conflict of situations like this. You know, we just watched it in the heat race with Hunter, which I had said, I expressed my feelings on that. I feel like you controlled the first turn. That was, to me, not as bad as some of the other stuff I've seen, but it just seems to come around all the time. And I think that's where, you know, that's where you have to draw the line, is if it's always one culprit, right? You got to figure out how to stop it. And, mm-hmm. and like you said, you know, if that's a $10,000 fine, not a 500, not a thousand, not 1200.
No, make it sting.
It's got to sting, right? To educate them on, hey, this is 10 grand. I do it again. It's 20 grand. You know, pretty soon those are some big numbers that we're talking about, which mm-hmm. will clean up his act one way or another, or the kid's going to go broke. So,
well, that, and in hopes, and to elaborate on what you're saying, RV, is, and the end goal here is to make him a better racer, him have better etiquette, and then essentially avoid situations that keep happening, which turn into, hopefully it protects his safety and the other racers as well. Because at the end of the day, that's the message that I'm hoping that any rider, not just Vince, that continues to do this, will get. It's like, hey, dude, it's not just to be a dirtbag or be mean to you and get in your wallet, take your money. It's to teach you, and hopefully you will become a better, safer rider, and other people's safety won't be at risk.
And just like what we saw, you know, 9 times out of 10, it seems like Vince makes it out with unscathed, right? But this particular situation, what we just watched with Dean, they both ended up on the ground, and you saw Vince walking off the track, maybe holding it, maybe jammed a finger. I don't know. It seemed like something in his arm.
I heard something maybe about his shoulder. That's okay, secondhand information. I'm just passing the trash here, but who knows?
But it wasn't like a big cartwheel. He should have got up. So obviously he hurt something to some degree, that he wasn't able to finish the main event. or that race. So, you know, you put yourself in a position like that, you know, riding, doing something stupid, put himself in a position where he didn't get to finish the main event. And now there's a big topic of probably on Vital. Title 24 is a topic of, you know, how do you fix this? What's the scenario? All the things we've been talking about, how to clean up his act. And, you know, I think that you gotta be better, but gotta be better about it. I do think if we go back and watch that replay one more time, as soon as Dean comes into the turn, mid turn, right here, he should have been looking. Who is it? Just because it was Vince Freeze. That's why I think we have this huge, debate and topic about it. If it would have been Eli running him high, Eli would have not ran him that high, but he would have used that entrance of the line and held it down to maybe 10 inches to where Dean could have then just fell in behind him. That's the difference between, you know, a top caliber rider of Eli, of Kenny, of Jet, of Hunter, of any of those top guys. They're going to use that entrance just like Vince did, but they're not going to take him all the way to the bales and mangle both of them up and have them go down. I think that's my take.
Kamikaze _ Machado _ 13. Congratulations on the quad lock question of the week. Slide into the Title 24 DM. JH will hook you up with quad lock, and quad lock will get you set up. We appreciate your feedback and your engagement. We appreciate all of you guys, all of our fans, for the engagement. Good stuff. I mean, like I said, normally we like to answer all these questions. There's so much meat to talk about on the bone. Jake UF2, I want to give you a shout out because you are the one that that person is the one who asked about the sanctioned body and to penalize Freeze. Freezy. Got a little bonus here today on Title 24, hot off the press on the Instagrams. I don't know about this until I was just sitting here recording today. Our co-producer sent us some drama, not even drama, but just trash on Instagram. But did you know that? It appears as so that Jet was mocking Ken about kickstarting his bike. Here you go, right here.
I did see that.
I didn't see that. Oh, that's me. Oh my goodness.
Oh, this I did see that.
Did you see that?
I did see that on Instagram. It looks like to me that looks, the sun looks out. So it looks like it's practice of some sort. Not sure which one, but I'm going to chalk that up to Jet just being a kid.
He's a kid, dude.
Yeah, he's just being a smart ass.
I can't stop, dude. That is so good.
I don't know if Kenny upset about that. I don't know. Like you said, this is hot off the press information. I think Kenny would laugh at that.
Yeah, I think it is.
That's the fun and cool thing that I think Jet brings to the table that none of these older guys do is keeping it very fun. You know, it's young, dumb and ready to go racing.
Great, like, content though.
Yeah.
To do. He's got a sense of humor. I think that you know, some people give Jet a hard time. Not even Jet.
I can't wait till Kenny kind of, you know, whoops him all around the track and gets that Kickstarter up on the win again.
I know. I think Kenny comes out swinging. Dude, he looked good again. He just got hosed on that first lap. Yeah. He got a bad start though. We talk about it all the time. Starts are everything. Dude, that was funny though. I didn't see it. When did he make that post? Was it like
I think I saw it this morning on Instagram somewhere.
Yeah. Hey, before we say goodbye, here's the rundown for this week. Like always, toughest rally race in the world is underway. The Dakar Rally highlights are available daily, 7:30 p.m. Eastern on Peacock's NBC Sports Channel and on demand. Thursdays on YouTube, SMX Insiders with Weege and JT. They weigh in on this weekend's action, as you know. Then on Peacock, Saturday, 3 p.m. Eastern, race day live, practice and qualifying starts. Make sure you tune into that. That's what I was watching from this week from the couch. And then, of course, we will be in San Francisco this weekend. That is an epic venue. Super Motocross World Championship, 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. I love that that new time slot. It's really good. So make sure you check that out at 8:30 p.m. Eastern live on Peacock. And then Sunday, the encore presentation on NBC. That'll be at 2 p.m. Eastern time. Check out the San Francisco Supercross encore on NBC. So that is great. We are looking forward to that. It's going to be awesome. What are your thoughts for San Fran? What's on your thought? You think Jack can win again, 250? Give us your thought. Quick thought on 450 and quick thought on 250. 450, go.
Well, quick thought is cool to be back in San Francisco. You know, I've been at Oakland for a long time. That stadium's really cool. It's obviously downtown, right up against awesome the water. Spot. So, yeah, good stadium. I'll be looking for Jet to be up front. I'm hoping that, Coop will be able to put a little more pressure on him along with Jason Anderson. Doing the same thing, and I'm looking to see a little bit of a rebound. I don't know if I call it a rebound, but have Chase, you know, up in the mix along with Eli, figuring out or seeing where he can drop into this second round and improve his position or speed. Hoping to see a little more out of him. So that's 450. 250. We'll see. RJ Hampshire is on a roll so far. He rode phenomenal, very consistent.
He was class of the field.
Class of the field. I'll be looking for Jordan Smith and Levi Kitchen to put some pressure on him. And we all know that Jordan can make, or sorry, RJ can make mistakes. He has in the past, so it's going to take the pressure from Jordan or Levi or Joe Shimoda to force RJ into those mistakes. So that's what I'll be looking for.
Same. I second exactly what you said, RV. That's what I'm looking for as well. It's going to be fun. I haven't even checked the weather, but race is
great. Yeah, open stadium, San Francisco could be our first mud race. You don't know. I don't know. I haven't checked either.
Hey, well, I can tell you what you can do if anyone's bored and doesn't have anything to do. I raced there in 2000 several times, but I believe it was in 2006. You want to see a hell of a mud race?
I raced that one.
You did? Oh, you were in 250s.
Dude. Yeah, yeah, did you win? I pulled the whole shot, and I decided to jump the finish line, and I crashed.
Oh, dude. I don't even think that by the time the 450, I don't even think we could jump the finish.
I shouldn't have jumped it. I shouldn't have.
You were young, dude. You get a pass. You were just a young buck, but it's going to be great. Everybody, thank you so much for tuning in to Title 24. We appreciate you guys. RV is going to get some hate mail from the Dino fans, but I love it. My man RV can take it. Like,
let's go.
He takes it better than I do. I get little soft hearted sometimes, but thank you guys very much. Remember, you can always listen to us audio wise. We're across all the podcast platforms, so pick and choose whichever one you want. If you listen to Title 24 on the audio side, and remember, we are always on the Motorsports on NBC YouTube page, On Demand, and of course Peacock. We are on there on demand. You can watch whatever you want, but we will be live there. Thank you very much, United Motorsports, Boxo, and Quadlock. We're going to do this thing again next week. Everyone have a great week. RV, you have a great week. And we will see everyone next Monday.
Did you know Bridgestone developed a tire using 75% recycled and renewable materials? Making a difference today for future generations. That's what really matters. Bridgestone, solutions for your journey. Visit whatreallymatters.com to learn more.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. we come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.